sermon this morning takes on as its starting point a quote from Brené Brown, the best-selling author and the research professor at the University of Houston. She wrote, "Courage is a heart word. The root of the word courage is cor, the Latin word for heart. In one of its earliest forms, the word courage meant to speak one's mind by telling all of one's heart. Over time, this definition has changed, and today we typically associate courage with heroic and brave deeds. But she wrote, "In my opinion, this definition fails to recognize the inner strength, the level of commitment required for us to actually speak honestly and openly about who we are and about our experiences, good and bad. Speaking from the heart is what I think of as ordinary courage." Here ends the quote. So for Brené Brown, speaking from the heart means speaking honestly and openly about who we are and about our experiences. She's become famous for her insights into how our need for acceptance makes us vulnerable to shame. Because we crave the acceptance of others, we're afraid to risk exposing our weaknesses, our flaws, and we're afraid to risk damaging a relationship. And so we live an inauthentic life. She argues that having the courage to speak from the heart, regardless of how it will be perceived by others, is the most important form of courage. What happens when you speak from the heart? As I wrote that sentence, I found myself going in a completely unexpected direction. What happens when you speak from the heart? Well, the answer to that depends a lot on who is listening when you're speaking. There is a reason that we do not often speak from the heart. We don't speak from the heart as a rule because we're afraid that our secrets will be used against us, directly or indirectly. We're directly vulnerable because we fear rejection and shame. If we speak from the heart, we may be exposing a vulnerability. We're indirectly vulnerable because we need the support of others. And if we expose a weakness or a flaw in character, or if we offend the other, then we risk losing the love and the support of the people that we depend on, for our sense of community, for our friendships, for our identity, and for our very security. In some ways, other people's opinions of us are more important than our own opinions of ourselves. If we expose a weakness by speaking from the heart, we risk being seen as less than the image that we are trying to project. Less successful, less likable, less honest, less trustworthy. So to protect our image as perceived by others, we're very careful about what we expose of ourselves. If you're speaking to someone you trust, someone you know will keep your secrets in confidence, someone who always has your best interests at heart, someone who knows you well, someone who would never use your words against you, then when you speak from the heart, you might be beginning a journey of healing. Where would you find such things? Someone you trust. Someone you know will keep your secrets in confidence. Someone who always has your best interests at heart. Someone who knows you well and would never use your words against you. Where would you find such a person? In our secular society today, that person is often your analyst, your psychiatrist, your psychologist, someone you can trust who won't use your words against you. And that's so important, and there are so many people seeking that kind of support. As your minister, that's what I strive to be, but I recognize that takes years and years to develop that trust. Remember when I said that the answer to what happens when you speak from the heart depends on who's listening? I also said that line of thought took me in an unexpected direction, so bear with me here. Speaking from the heart can be another way to describe a private prayer. Here I'm not speaking of a formulaic repetition of a predetermined script. Aaron's speaking of prayer when we've run out of alternatives, when you're baring your soul and asking for help in some form. In prayer, you can be speaking to God, the God of your understanding, an entity who really knows, who already knows your weaknesses, an entity that has the capacity for unconditional love, an entity that only wants to see healing and health. For others, prayer need not believe, not involve a belief in anyone or anything listening. Prayer is that speaking from the heart into the universe. The process of being truly honest with yourself and verbalizing your situation and your concern with hope. Your hope, your failings, and your fears. It can be cathartic, and it can be healing. A prayer may be done in silence, may be spoken out loud, or committed in writing in a private journal or diary. That kind of prayer doesn't rely on intercession of a divine being. That kind of prayer, this kind of speaking from the heart, changes nothing in the world except the heart of the person who is doing the praying. I'm reminded here that the fourth step in the 12-step AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, or Al-Anon program, it's admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. That's speaking from the heart. Speaking from the heart is not ultimately about admitting our flaws. It's fundamentally about speaking honestly and openly about ourselves and our experience, including the way that we experience others. Parker Palmer, in his book, A Hidden Wholeness, which our young adult group is working their way through, talks about two forms of speaking. One is instrumental speech, and the other is expressive speech. Instrumental speech is used when you're consciously or unconsciously trying to convince someone with a point, or draw an answer out of someone, or win an ally to your cause. Instrumental speech is all about influencing the other person and your relationship. With instrumental speech, the purpose is always to affect some change. When you're engaged in instrumental speech, you're committed to a position. In Western culture, this type of speech almost always involves eye contact. When you engage with another person, it's a test of will. And reading the other person's reaction will affect what you say next. So you're watching carefully. You're looking into the other person's eyes. But there's another form of speech. Speaking from the heart. Expressive speech. It's used, on the other hand, when you simply are saying what is on your heart at the moment, without any desire or expectation that your speech will bring about any change. This type of speech is often done without any eye contact. I thought this morning about, I mentioned earlier, being with a psychologist. And the classic picture is the person on the couch with the psychologist sitting behind them. There's a reason that they're not sitting across from each other, staring into each other's eyes. They kind of avoid that need to react to the other person. In the work that we've been doing with the Truth and Reconciliation Team, I've come to be more aware of the parallels in traditional indigenous discussion circles and Quaker healing circles as described by Parker Palmer. In both cases, expressive speech is given priority. The speakers are expected to speak into the center of the circle rather than to engage with one another in dialogue. I think we've all had the experience when someone is speaking to us in a truly expressive mode, struggling to find the right words to say what they're feeling, what they want to explain. At this time, the speaker won't be looking into the other person's eyes. They may be looking off into the distance, trying to find the right words. Or they may be looking down at the floor. Unlike instrumental speech, expressive speech is not a test of competing will. It's more a personal challenge for the speaker to find the right words to say what is on his or her heart. To end this sermon, I want to take you back to that reading by Victoria Safford. The reading ends, "Here is where, if by a surgeon's knife, my heart was opened up. And here, and here, and here are the landmarks of my conversion." It's as if all the important events in our life, life-changing events, moments of conversion, moments when we were changed for better or for worse, left a scar on our metaphorical hearts. And it's much more than a metaphor. Who are we if we have not become, who are we and what we have become is the result of our experience. Our psyche bears all these scars, just as sure as we bear bodily scars. Victoria Safford lists these steps in her own journey in progress. I could identify with just about everything that she said. Listen and imagine how each of these steps involved the courage to see things for what they were and to speak from the heart. To forgive when it seemed impossible. To receive forgiveness when it seemed undeserved. To take a principled stand in the face of criticism. To risk despite your overwhelming fear. To learn from an experience of cruelty. That I had to think about. To learn from an experience of cruelty. To experience the miracle of compassion. To learn to act on compassion for others. To admit to those times we stumble in what she called the murky puddle. Times when that lesson isn't clear. The lesson has not yet been learned. But she holds out the hope that there is a lesson there. There is something to be learned, even from that murky puddle. The times that we benefit from serendipity and grace. The bird song late in the summer. The benevolence that we didn't deserve or expect. And finally, the choice to reject the cynical view. To walk in beauty. Even when others don't see that beauty. My prayer today is that we may see our life as a journey in process, a journey towards the courage to speak and to live from the heart. May it be so.